Successful people move on their own initiative, but they know where they're going before they start. This knowledge is the focus of the first of the 17 principles we'll examine. It's called definiteness of purpose, a specific objective toward which you're working. The successful people are those who don't settle for anything short of what they set out to get. One woman in Napoleon Hill's life exemplified definiteness of purpose, and she did it against all the odds. Dr. Hill picks up the story here.
When I was 10 years of age, my mother died. And 2 years later, my father brought in a stepmother. And long before she got there, my in-laws had coached me and my little brother to hate that woman who's coming in to take my mother's place. And we had done a wonderful job of getting ready to hate her. My father brought her home. All the relatives were down there, and they were standing around. My father took her around and introduced her to all of the uncles and aunts, and they said, "And over here in the corner, Martha, is your son Napoleon, the meanest boy in Wise County. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he starts throwing rocks at you by tomorrow morning." And I tightened up my arm. I said, "You're doggone right. I'll show that woman something." And I meant to do just that. She came over and put her hand under my chin and lifted my head away up and looked squarely into my eyes, and she turned around and made a speech that has reverberated around this world, that has influenced millions of people now already, and will influence millions of others for the better. She said, "You're wrong about this boy. You're just as wrong as you can be. He's not the meanest boy in Wise County. He's probably just the smartest boy who hasn't found out yet what to do with his smartness." And I knew then and there that my stepmother and I were going to get along all right. That was the first time in my life that anybody ever said anything kind about me. I was a bad boy. I had a revolver. I used it effectively, and everybody in the whole mountain section was afraid of me, and not without cause. My stepmother went to work on me. She had me trade in that revolver for a Blickensderfer typewriter, taught me to type. And in no time, we had 26 newspapers on my list. And I wrote a newsletter from those mountain sections, and when we didn't have news, ladies and gentlemen, believe you me, I made it. About a month after my stepmother came, she dropped her denture one morning and broke it. Up to that time, I never heard of such a thing as a denture. And of course, I've heard a lot about them since. My father went over. He was a watchmaker, and he had a blacksmith shop and a little country store and a post office. An all-around tinkerer, you might say. And, oh, yes, what purported to be a little farm where they put me to work when I did do just what they wanted to do among the rocks. Oh, what work it was. You reassemble the two pieces of this upper plate, looked at it for a moment, said, "Martha, you know, I believe I can make a set of teeth." She ran over there and threw her arms around and said, "Well, I know you can make a set of teeth." I thought, what a woman, what a woman. My old man make a set of teeth? He can shoe a horse, I know, because I've seen him do it. About 3 weeks after that, when I came home from school, I smelled the most peculiar odor when I got in the yard, and when I went in the house, there was a queer little kettle sitting over the fire like that. I said to my stepmother, "What is that?" She said, "That's a vulcanizer. Your father sent away to the dental supply house. He got the materials. He made me a set of teeth, and they're in there cooking." I thought, my gosh, what a woman. Of course, this plate was being cooked under pressure. My father took this little kettle down to the creek and cooled it off, and then took out this great hunk of plaster Paris, trimmed away the outside of it, took a piece of emery cloth and dressed the plate down, and I knew they'd never get to my stepmother's mouth. It looked too big. But it fit. He put it in, and it fitted almost perfectly, and she wore it for 3 years. Next time I came home from school, there was a neat hand-painted sign on our front door. "Dr. J.M. Hill, dentist." By George, she'd made a dentist out of him overnight without the details of his going to school or taking an examination or getting a license. He went down to the blacksmith shop and he made himself some tools to pull teeth, and you should see them. Oh, boy, they did the business. And he loaded this stuff in the pair of saddle pockets and started practicing dentistry over in eastern Kentucky and southwest Virginia, down in Tennessee. Well, in just no time, we were in the money, really in the money, making $50 or $60 a month. That went on for about 3 years. And one day, the local justice of the peace came down with a law book under his arm. He said, "Look here, Dr. Hill. Section 540 of the Code of Virginia says you have to have a license to practice dentistry. If you don't have it, you're liable to go to jail." Well, he and my stepmother went into a caucus with the understanding that my father would ride out to the county seat and see a lawyer. And late in the afternoon, I saw him riding down the valley, and I knew by the way he was thumped on the horse that he had done just what 999 out of every 1,000 generally always do. He'd accepted the problem as something he couldn't do anything about. The lawyer said he had to take an examination, and my father came to the conclusion he didn't have education enough to take an examination. As he dismounted, he said, "Well, Martha Trollo," the lawyer says, "I have to take an examination, and you know I don't have enough education to do that." Now, the average woman would have walked away and said, "It was just too bad, we'd try something else." But that wasn't the way my stepmother operated. If she'd operated like that, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today, and I wouldn't be talking to millions of people all over the world, because there would have been no Napoleon Hill. She said, "Now look here, Dr. Hill, I haven't made a dentist out of you to have you let me down. If you have to go away to college and learn how to take an examination just like others, then that's exactly what you do." And I thought, my goodness, what a woman, what a woman. My old man go away to college, why, they wouldn't let him on the campus, let alone matriculate. You know what she did? I'm talking to you now about somebody who moves with definiteness of purpose and don't know the opposite to definiteness of purpose. Sent my father down to Louisville Dental College, put him through college for 4 years with the life insurance money of her former husband, and made one of the most outstanding dentists in Southwest Virginia. He became one of the most prominent dentists probably in the whole state of Virginia. That's how she operated. That's how anybody will operate who gets a hold of this philosophy, the way that it's capable of being used. And if you didn't have anything else in the world except this lesson number one and knew exactly what you wanted and stood by your guns, you could almost forget the other 16 principles. It's just that important.